Turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, to Matthew. If you remember the last time we looked at Matthew 5, verse 13, was it? Verse 30, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall the salt is da-da-da-da-da. Next verse I want to look to. I had a wonderful... These three verses, verses 14, 15, 16, are very similar in parallel to one of my favorite verses, the verse I think is speaking to the church today, Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, darkness, thick darkness covers the nations, but the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning. Isaiah 60, 1 and 3. Worthwhile, all of us. Well, But I try and declare that over my life every day. Not success, don't always get that far. But I try and, that's one thing I try and declare over my life every day because it's a now word. The similarity, it's the same. There's three parts to that verse. Arise and shine, for your light has come. For your light has come. What does Jesus say here? You are the light of the world. Oh, why don't I just go through it? You are the light of the world. There's an amazing thing through the scripture, and it was mentioned that someone mentioned Joshua this morning. Yeah. Someone mentioned Joshua. There's a lot of as I, so you. And so I just want to pick out a couple of these things. In Joshua, at the beginning of Joshua 9, or Joshua 1, the Lord, or about 5 actually, the Lord says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah's time to go, and he's trying to shake Elijah off. Well, he's actually, it's probably, you're going to come with me. And Elisha is hanging on to him. And he said, just before he's going, he said, I have a question. What do you want? He said, I want a double portion of what you had. That's a tough thing to do. But if you see me go, it's yours. And so he kept his eyes on him. Of course, the chariots of God came, disappeared, and the mantle fell. And so he's asking, as God is with you, give it to me. And remember, the prophets are standing there, and so he's got this mantle, this cloak, which was the symbolic of the anointing that was over a man in the Old Testament. And he grabs the cloak. Is God with me? Watch this. Whop! On the water. Remember the story? And the water, shh, like this. Where was God? Was with Elijah, now he's with Elisha. As with Elijah, so with Elisha. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. Paul says, Colossians 1:17, for in Jesus the fullness of deity, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. All of God, everything of God was jammed into Jesus. I don't know how that works, but it works. That's what that's who he is. And then Paul says in another in 2 Corinthians, you are the temple of God, the dwelling place of God. It's like the Lord goes, well, I'm the dwelling place. Tag, now you are. You're it. You're the dwelling place of God. Same with this. Same with this. Jesus came, I am the light of the world. John 8, John 1, it talks, the light of the world has come into the world. I'm the light of the world. He goes up and he goes, hand up. She doesn't want to get tagged. Who wants to get tagged? Who wants to get tagged? Tag, you're it. You're the light of the world now. You are the light of the world. Isn't that amazing? All through there, you're it. You and I are it. We are the light of the world. Isn't that scary? Because the light of the world lives in us. That's who we are. That's what God's made us to be. I just thought that was fun. How? Because the Spirit of God is with us. Because the Spirit of God is the one who carries the light, who is the light shining through us. The same Spirit of God that breathed over that hovered over the deep on Genesis chapter 1 is the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead who lives in us. We need to give ourselves time to think about that and to ponder on it and to meditate on it and think. Someone said before, remember who it is that said, what was that statement? There were so many good things that they were just, I thought, oh, mother's daughter. Who said that? Remember who, was it Sabina? No? Angela, did you say that? Remembering who God is. Remember who God. Who is it that's tagged you? You're it. The God of the universe has tagged us and said, "You're it, guys." All right. It's not supposed to scare us. It's to be so that when we go out and do something, when we go out and try and share the love of Jesus and do things, oh my God, I've got to come up with it. No. Just remember, hey, I can do this because I know who's behind me, backing me up. Amen. See, that's how we have to think. Not be terrified of the thing. No, hey, I've probably got 10,000 angels right beside me right now. Why not? Why not? We all probably have at least one, and they ain't small. Not that I've ever seen any, but so I've been told. I'd love to see it. Who's seen an angel? Anyone say, oh, go home. Just... Sorry, didn't really mean that. I'm jealous. Anyway, I was like, no, that's all right. Okay, you are the light of the world. You got that one? You are the light of the world. Yeah. Right, second thing, there is darkness. Isaiah 6, 60, verse 1 and 2. Behold, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the nations. Right, thick darkness. It is not hard. I've shared this before. It's not difficult to look around the world and say, yep, that's true. Is it? I mean, just not hard. Because everyone says this is, oh, it's the end times disaster. Well, it might be, I don't know. But the reality is, Jesus is saying, well, this thick darkness, this is your mission field. What happened? What do you do to drive away darkness? When you come into your house at night, what do you do to drive the darkness away? Switch a light on. Oh. Anyway, you are the light of the world. Now, one of the things that we as Christians, for many, many decades or centuries, have taught and have believed and have done, and it's perfectly legitimate, is that we believe that the preaching of the gospel is that you have to preach sin and judgment, and that the Holy Spirit's to convict everyone of their sin, they come to the cross, get saved. Or mostly, nearly all evangelistic crusades are like that. Not knocking that, it's an important part. Everyone who comes to the Lord, no matter what way you come to the Lord, has to at some stage have an encounter with the cross and have an encounter with our own sinfulness, our own lack, our own shortcoming, and realize there is no forgiveness apart from the cross of Jesus. Everyone has to come to that at some point. But it isn't necessarily, I think, the main message that we preach or demonstrate. And I know for a fact because of my own experience. I did not come to the Lord that way. I did not come to the Lord because I heard Billy Graham preach a crusade. Though I must say, back in New Zealand in the 60s, Billy Graham came a couple of times. When Sabina and I, well, I was with the Anglican Church Army, travelled the country in the early 80s, travelled the country doing evangelistic. The number of people that I met coming out and saying, I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. These older people, they're older than me, same age as I am now probably, but they were older then. Just about everywhere we went, there was some person, nearly always men, nearly always men said, I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. Went forward at a Billy Graham crusade. I thought, God bless that man. God bless that man. Now, I'm not knocking that kind of preaching. Please hear me say, you know, I mean, you know, you and I know, if someone gets up the front and shares the word of God to, and you think, oh, I'm not listening. Can we get on to that? You know that feeling? You know, think, my life is not really as it be. That's the conviction. That's the work. But it is the work of the Spirit of God, not ours. Now, I think a big thing that we've got into difficulty, is that we think the only way you can do it is to do that. Let's have a look at what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. What does that mean? See, the light, switch the light on. Now, missing a short illustration. If people are in a room and it's dark and they're doing things they ought not to do, and that's why it's dark, what happens when you turn the light on? Panic. Some of them stop, some of them will move to another room. So we go, oh, hello, Ian, oh, nice to see you. You know, you know what I mean? All that stuff, that all happens. You know, you turn the light on, conviction of sin happens. Not knocking that. But is that what Jesus said here? Straight after he said, you are the light of the world. Look, listen to what he says. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
Yeah, well, yeah, so what?
When I went to Australia when I was with the Anglican Church Army. The training college was in Sydney, Australia. And because I played the guitar, one of the few in this massive great college of 12 people, one of the few that had a guitar and could play it, I got to go on the Church Army aeroplane that did an outback trip. They went flying out through the outback. Sort of wasn't. It was only New South Wales down into South Australia back. And it's what, you know, we didn't cover the whole of Australia. We'd never have got back. It was a 10-day trip out and back. And, you know, desert, more desert, more desert. Anyway, the interesting thing is we came back. We were late coming back at one at night, and we're thinking, you know, what's that light over there? And the guy says, that's Sydney. And I thought, you're kidding me. It's only a tiny wee dot. Well, we've got a long way to go. But we could see Sydney. And so we were aiming towards Sydney. Because there was a light in the dark we could head for. Amen. All right? When we go travelling around here, even here in England, we're travelling along, it's a bit dark. And, you know, I've got my little thing out here. We say, oh, look at the light. There's a town over there. What's that town? I don't know. I don't know, but there's a light here. You know, you see a town in the dark because the lights are on. Is this beginning to make sense to people? A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In those days, most towns, most cities were set on a hill. In Jesus' time, just about every town was up on a hill because they needed to be able to see who was coming and be able to defend themselves if they had to do that. Was it helpful if they were down in a gully? Some were, but most of the time, they're up on a high place. Now, at night, if you're a traveler at night, it was not safe. So you saw the lights of the city in the distance and you knew, I have to get there, otherwise I'm open to being robbed by robbers, killed, all sorts of wild animals could take me. Safety is where the lights are. You with me? It's the same. You are the light of the world. You and I are to be a place of safety for those who do not know and do not have not tasted of the kingdom to come to. A place of safety where people can come and be safe, no matter who they are, what they've done, no matter their condition. I'm safe with these people. I don't feel safe with anyone else. I could get ripped off. I could get killed. I get abused. I feel shame all the time. Da 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 da. All those things. With us, with the people of God, we are the light. It's where people need to come, where people can feel safe, because we are the ones who carry the light that shines in a dark place, in the thick darkness. People looking for somewhere to turn. There's a light on a hill that people can come to. You with me?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Amen.
It's different, isn't it? It's not the preaching of the gospel. It is. There is all that. Please don't hear me. But this is the important thing. We're to be a light where even with the guilty, those who are full of shame, those who rejected, the lonely, all those things can come and feel safe. Feel safe. That's why love is so important. That's why honesty is so important. That's why integrity is so important. That's why people desperately in need of acceptance can feel loved and accepted in spite of what they've done, in spite of who they are. They will feel loved and accepted, safe with us. Now that's doable. We can do that because we have His love in us. Is that, for me, this is freeing stuff. Is this freeing stuff for you? It is for me. It takes a bit of the sort of heavy evangelical pressure off to have to preach the gospel. In that tiny little wee sphere of what the gospel is, the gospel is much bigger. It's the good news of God's kingdom of love and acceptance. You with me? I think I've nearly finished. That was quite good, wasn't it? Look at that. See, I got. Cannot be hidden. Those are broken. We're to be people of love, genuine, real, trust, and integrity. Even those who brave. I'll say this. There's acceptance by trust. That where they find in us trust, acceptance, the power to change, because the presence of God is with us. The power, as Sabina said before, love and acceptance but the power to change their life. Wonderful. Number three, point three. And nations shall come to your brightness, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Look at this, what Jesus says down here, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and think you're absolutely wonderful people. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, so they may give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Nations shall come. It's the same sense. People will come and be drawn to the light, to the King. Nations shall come to your rising. They will give glory to your Father. In my mind, what that means is that the love and the actions that we show and that the way we do things has a dimension to it that is missing from anyone else. There's something about our lives that is different to everyone else. And people are drawn to that. And they see something and they don't always know what it is. You know, I don't know how many of you have had that experience where people have said, there's something about you, I don't know what it is. That's giving glory because they can't. It's not in their frame of reference. I've never met someone like you. Why are you so da-da-da? I've had, you know, in a workplace, people say, are you a Christian? And you think, uh-oh, yeah. You know, now who's asking the question? But, you know, that's because they see something that's different. They will see your good works. They will see who you are. But our works have to carry a dimension that's different. And I believe this. If our life is a sacrifice, people will notice. Mm-hmm. If our life is a sacrifice, if we're giving, if we're serving with a whole and sacrificial heart, yielded, surrendered to the Lord, something will be seen that will point people to something beyond ourselves. That's how it works. If people are only recognizing that we are just nice people, which is the start, it's good because there are a lot of horrible people in the world. But if people are just, and it doesn't go any further than that, then pray for more. Pray for more. Something has to be seen over our lives. That's why I think inviting people to come to church is such a great evangelistic tool. Because, I mean, the presence of the Lord is here. Well, he was here this morning. Still is, I trust him. Do you know the presence of the Lord is here? He's with us as we gather. When people come in out of the darkness, this is light for us and for them. Remember, Colin said, 25% around people come to know the Lord because they come to a church. They get invited to church. It's an easy way of doing, real easy way of doing evangelism. You don't have to preach anything to people. I mean, I'm not, you know, please hear me. There are people who are brilliant at preaching. I mean, people who just go on the streets and they just have a gift to be able to next, you know, in 5 minutes, I've got someone weeping on the ground and confessing their lives. That's an anointing. I just don't have that, I don't think. But I'll get on to that. Second point I want to make of that, in John's Gospel, Jesus says, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works. Now, in the Gospel of John, Jesus, the word for works that Jesus uses, if you don't believe my words, then believe the works that I do. What were the works? Signs and wonders and miracles. It is the same word as that one right there. That one right there. Miracles, signs and wonders. Of all things, you're going to point to the Father. That's why we need to pursue them. That's why we cannot pull back from this. We cannot shy away from seeing the power of God demonstrated. It's what Jesus did. It is the prime way he demonstrated the goodness and the love of God, which we want people to know. We don't want them necessarily to know that a lot of people have this view that he's a horrible, condemning, punitive God. No, he's not. He's the complete opposite of that. He's gracious. He is God, but he's gracious and full of love. And the miracles and the signs and wonders were the key thing. So those of us who got to see that video at the end of August, remember when Bill said, he said that guy was healed in the morning in church. Was he blind or was he something? It doesn't matter what happened. No, he was blind. And the Lord healed this blind man in front of them all. And all the Pharisees got upset. Bill said, why did they get upset? Because they believed that sickness was a curse. Well, I didn't realize that actually Jesus has taken the curse. Every curse has been broken over our lives. And the Lord came along and said, well, I don't care. He healed people. He broke the mold. He didn't do what they thought God should be doing. Because Jesus is the fullness of God. As he says, God, Jesus is perfect theology. If you do not see something that I teach or anyone teaches, if you don't see it in Jesus, it's not true. Simple, eh? But it's true. All the fullness of deity was pleased to dwell. Hebrews 1 says, what is Hebrew? something about this. I know it's in Hebrews 1. Someone might look it up. It'll take me forever. And that's the downside of these things. Just take, at least I like my Bible. You flick, flick, flick. From Tuesday, I should be able to read my Bible again. Anyway, Hebrews, what on earth is Hebrews? I know it says something. Doesn't matter. It's similar to Colossians 1:17. Never mind. Glory to God. So as we do this, kingdoms and nations will come. Nations are just bunches of people. Kings shall come. The interesting thing, this is coming true in our day today, and I'll just throw this in, then I'll get to some, move on. People like Leif Hetland, who's heard of Leif Hetland? Just a few of us, okay, that's right. You've heard of, Chris Vellaton, not many more have heard of Chris Vellaton. Right, these two men, powerful, powerful ministries, go travel around the world, get invited by heads of state to come and talk to them. This is not just in their home countries. This is other countries in the world. Africa, Asia, all these other places. They get heads of state want to hear what they have to say. Isn't that amazing? Well, you're not going to hear that. You will not hear that on the radio or the television. But this is what is happening for these men. And that's only two that I know. I'm sure there are others. Nations shall come to your brightness, and kings, the brightness of you. I've got it. I can do it when I do it all in one hit. I can't pick the verses out and do it. I told you, didn't I, that recently, when they were over here. Oh, and they get to speak. Leif Hetland especially gets to speak to men who run big multinational corporations. Massive, big, you know, worldwide corporations. And he gets to speak to these men, gets to share with these men. And they give him this gift. He's got this $10,000 watch that someone just gave him. Not that that's proof of anything, but, you know, I'm just jealous of that. But anyway. But he is influencing the influencers. Do you know, this is amazing stuff that's happening in the world. Don't get doom and gloom because of what the media is telling us, because the bad news sells. Good news doesn't. So they're going to flog as much bad news over it. There is stuff happening that we don't know. Don't give up. God is in control. He's not controlling, but he's in control. He's in control. All right. Current part. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll get into it about it. The glory of God over us is the tangible, noticeable, radical something that's there. We carry the glory of God over us. Even if you and I don't feel like it, that's what's over us. His light is in us. The glory of God overshadows us. Have you heard the testimony of people who've been saved out of witchcraft? The number of times I've heard this from people who have been heavily involved in witchcraft, and they come out and they say, you know, the thing that constantly used to amaze us is the power that Christians have. And they keep saying this. See, they're used to spiritual power. They move in the realm of spiritual power. We don't understand what it is that we carry. We just don't understand it. And we probably never understand it. But we don't... As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. How was God with Moses? Well, seas were departed. A nation had plagues come upon it. Why? Because God was with them. Same God's with us. Not necessarily we're going to see nations. That's not quite, we don't see Jesus doing that. But whatever Jesus did, we can do and more. That's what he said. John 14 somewhere, someone can correct me about that. said, the same works you will do and greater because they go to the Father, because he wants to spread his power. You know, metal and the healings, metal and all sorts of stuff. This is what we can do. And we just need to press into him. Press into him. Into him. All right, let's get on to something a bit more. Put that one in there. All right, going back, I really, really, really enjoyed what Scott said earlier this morning. He goes into the bar and just, I probably should get you up and just share, but can you remember what Scott said? Just about him, go out and give it a go. Just do whatever you can do. And he goes into bars. And so the thing I want to say is, find your zone. All right, find your zone. Don't be what you're not. Don't try and be like someone else. Be a waste of my time trying to be like Scott and go into bars and sing. You just be off. I wouldn't know what to sing for a start. Don't know the only songs I know are worship songs. I don't know any of that. You know, maybe that works. I don't know. There are men and women who do that. Not my thing. So I wouldn't even try. I might go along and visit him sometime and just to watch. That'd be fun. Sorry?
As long as you don't heckle.
I wouldn't heckle much. But, you know, find your zone. That's why I do chaplaincy. Because for me, it helps me in a way that's helpful for me to be able to be talking to non-Christian people and getting in touch with them, getting alongside them. Who got the news? You all got, hopefully all got the newsletter. That little thing on the back, I showed it to Sabina and said, you know, what do you think? This is, because that's what I've written out. And I give to people who ask me, why do I do? Why do you do? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. This is why. I've got it. I want to memorize that whole thing. Remember the second page in the newsletter? Mm-hmm. No. How many read it?
Yeah.
Some did. Not because I did it. It just, that's something that I put together. You and I need to know in a way that we can present it in a way that's in our minds clearly why we're Christians. Need to know why and to be able to reproduce it if someone asks. You know, like Colin said a couple of weeks ago, did he mention the tennis ball? If someone whacks the tennis ball over into our court, did he mention that? I can't remember if he did now because I've heard it from someone else. He did. So if someone hits the tennis ball into your court, you're allowed to hit it back. Why are you a Christian? Well, here, this is, glad you asked. For me, coming up here on Wednesdays, Florence has been hiving off. Someone knows she hasn't. But I had some great times the last couple of Sundays, and Costas comes up and we chat. But I've had some great conversations with people up here at Britwell just by coming up and getting to be a face, getting to know people, know who they're going to find. There's some really, really lovely people hanging around the spot and getting to share something of Jesus. I shared my story with a person last week. I told a lady about what her name meant and prophesied her name to her. I love prophesying names to people. Find your zone. It doesn't mean say you have to do what I do. Find your zone. What do you love doing? Do it for other people. Find something that you can do that touches people's lives and do it and trust that God is with you. Get to know why you're a Christian. Learn, write it out. Get something, spend some time. Why am I a Christian? Because this. See, mine starts, I've always believed in a God who has a purpose for my life more than I can see, more than I can understand, more than I can hear. I can't remember what it is now. And I believe that this God is, and go down the list and all those things. I gave it to a lady at the chaplaincy. She walks around with that now in her bag. She said, every now and again, I get it out and I read that, and she's encouraged. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Oh, anyway, find your zone and do it. Get into it. Give what you can. What Scott said, just go out and do something. Just even no matter how small it is, and trust that God will bless it and make it bigger. That's how we become light. That's how we become, you know, it's the salt and light. That's how we shine in a dark place. We are called to shine in a dark place. How? Well, just because we are the light. We are the light. I'm going out doing the simple little thing, but I am the light of the world. Why? Because Jesus is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. So I can do this little thing, and there's something extra hovering over that small act that I do that God takes care of, because I'm doing it in his name. All right? All right, I'll be quiet now. That's it. Praise the Lord. Have you left anything there? One more thing. Almost landed. Sort of. There was a bird on the runway. Had to sort of come around again. As I said this before, and it continues to confront me, is that the life of walking in the fullness of power with the Lord, with God, is a life of surrender. My heroes, Heidi and Roland Baker, continue to say, lower still. You've got to give it all away and go lower still. That means not grovel, that means emptying yourself. Empty yourself, empty yourself, so you can be filled with Him. It's like taking a blank page. Taking a blank page and signing our names on the bottom and saying, Father, fill this any way you wish. That's what we're called to. That takes trust. Oh, He might get me. No, He's not going to get you something doing something stupid that's not you. He knows who you and I are. But we have this big fear. Oh, God might get me, because sometimes He does. You know, you look at the Old Testament and you think, oh, what if He gets me to do that? Well, He might get you to do something scary. I won't promise that He won't, but it will be what He trusts you to do. Yeah. Have to trust Him that even if it's totally scary, way out of my depth, it will be all right because He's in control. It will be okay because He's calling. And in the end, you come together and think, that was awesome. Oh, man, that was so exciting. You're terrified at the beginning when you come to it. You think, God, do I have to do this? And you find this amazing stuff. God, and you get pumped. And I don't know whether it's Holy Spirit joy or just adrenaline or what it is. You've had that experience? Just amazing. Because you take a step. That's what it takes. That is what it takes. A blank page with our names signed on the bottom. Here you are, Father. Fill that in any way you wish. Then we will see the glory and the power of God truly flow through each of us. Simple in concept, not always easy, I understand that. Not always easy. I don't always find surrender easy. But that's the goal of where we're to be. All right, let's pray.